Alexander was also able to gain allies, either because they were enemies of Persia and ready to throw off Persian domination, or because they were terrified to resist this new invader. Later authors stressed Alexander's leniency towards cities or rulers who surrendered to him, but he made it clear early in his march that those who opposed him would endure much suffering. The city of Tyre in Lebanon, which Nebuchadnezzar had besieged for 13 years before it fell, attempted to remain neutral in this battle between the Greeks and Persians. But Alexander took it in 7 months. There had been significant advances in military technology that sped up the process of capturing the city. Once the city was taken, Alexander killed all the men and enslaved all the women. And this was pretty severe treatment, considering that they had not actively opposed the Macedonian conqueror, but instead simply tried to remain out of the battle. And so this would have been a cautionary lesson for the other parts of the Near East that Alexander was beginning to move through. Many of these cities welcomed Alexander, hoping to avoid the treatment that Tyre had suffered. Egypt had basically given itself to Alexander. Remember, they'd pushed out the Persians several decades before. While Alexander was in Egypt, he celebrated the traditional rituals of a pharaoh. Egyptian rulers were divine, and when Alexander was crowned king there, he was in a situation where some of his subjects believed in his divinity. This would cause inevitable tension in his army, and the ancient sources give Alexander's flirtation with divinity quite a bit of attention. At Babylon, the governor of the city escorted Alexander and his army into the ancient city, and in return, Alexander began restoring the temple of Marduk and offered sacrifices to him. Alexander also occupied the palace and liberated the treasury that was housed there, and this allowed him even more resources to continue his campaigns. Really, everywhere Alexander went in the Persian Empire, he was able to gain enormous quantities of money, and this would help fund the hiring of more mercenaries and also cut Darius off from any additional resources that he might have counted on. After the Battle of Gaugamela in 331 BC, Alexander was effectively the ruler of Persia, even though Darius was still alive. Babylonian records give Alexander the royal title King of the Universe after 331, even though Darius's name still appears in that same record in the same year. As Alexander pursued Darius III, he also claimed the royal capital at Susa and the capital at Persepolis. This would have been an important symbolic moment, and our authors make much of it. Supposedly, a Greek onlooker wept when he saw Alexander take the throne, saying that any Greek who died before that day had missed one of the greatest pleasures in life by not seeing Alexander seated on the throne of Darius. Alexander stayed at Persepolis for 4 months, and at the end of his stay, burned the capital city and took the massive treasury of the king. Sources claim that Alexander either destroyed the city in revenge for the 5th century Persian destruction of Athens, or that it was a mistake, that it began after a drunken evening and was led by an Athenian courtesan who wanted to see the palace of the Persian king destroyed. Once again, there's a little bit of tension in our sources that shows they're uncomfortable with this behavior by Alexander. And supposedly he regretted this action later in his rule. There is evidence for a massive fire dating to the late 4th century, about the time of Alexander, found at Persepolis. Darius remained on the run, and while he was trying to escape and to try to marshal yet another army to face Alexander, he was killed by one of his own generals, Bessus, who would later claim the throne.